Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands up and praise the Lord. Lord, we love you this morning. Do you love him? Do you love the Lord?
Love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. Say, what shall I render unto the Lord? I will take the cup of salvation and I will praise the name of the Lord. The Lord, we praise your name on here this morning, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray as always that the entrance of your word will bring light to our hearts, to our minds, to our spirits, and it will give us understanding in Jesus' name. And everyone says,
amen. Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap as you sit. Praise the Lord. All right. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated as well. I'm just going to talk to us for a little, a little bit today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to talk to us about lessons from the story of Hezekiah. So, you know, in the Bible, there are many of these prophets and kings throughout the life, you know, this story of the children of Israel. And there's a lot of things in there. You have to cover that as a Bible study, really, to understand why the Lord put all those things there. Why there were so many kings. Why some particular prophets were the ones that were there with those kings, and etc. You know, so, you know, maybe someday we have Bible study or something. Maybe I'll do, you know, the kings and the prophets. You know, but today I want to talk about Hezekiah. Now, I want to just kind of talk to you in an interactive way. How many of us know who Hezekiah was? Do you know? Hezekiah? Hezekiah? All right, let's make it like Bible Sunday school today. Hezekiah? Someone said king. Is that your final answer? All right, so that's good. Hezekiah was a king. How many generations was between? I know everybody knows David as king. I mean, David was a key personality in the Bible. How many generations do you think were between David and Hezekiah? Hazard a guess. Anyone? Someone say 7, someone say 14. What's your final answer? Someone say 9, someone say 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know. Let's put it all out there. You know. Well, you know, if you count, you know, queen mother of Ahaziah, it would be 14. You know, now, someone did say close to 14. I think I heard 14 somewhere here. But it's about 13. But if you count that woman that snuck in there somewhere, it'll be 14. Now, let me just mention some key figures. There's some things I want to bring out about his story. Let me mention some key figures who you might remember. You all remember David, right? Praise the Lord. Now, David, you know, even though the Lord used to refer to them as David, your father, sometimes they were many generations apart. But that's how the Lord talked to them. You know, the scriptures would say that Hezekiah walked in the ways of David, his father. David was not directly his father. David was like 14 kings, you know, before him. You know, that's what I meant by generations, the number of kings that were before him. You know, and then he said, let me point out the key ones. There was David. Who was after David? What happened in the days of Solomon? No, I mean to the kingdom. Did I hear the kingdom was split? The kingdom was split. You know, so we now have, you know, David was a unified king. Saul was too. Saul was unified over the children of Israel. You know, David was also unified. You know, in the days of Solomon, the spindle was split. And we have what you now call south and north. Huh? Yeah, I know. After Solomon. Yeah, Solomon was still there. But after, it was in his, you know, because the Lord said, look, all of these things that Solomon did was really wild. But the Lord, because of David, his father, had mercy on him. And he said, look, I'm going to push the judgment down the road a bit. So, didn't quite happen in his time, but right after him, the kingdom was split. And one went this way, one went, in fact, 10 went this way, 2 went this way. You know, so, but that's not really my subject. But I want to say that, you know, those that went in the lineage of what they now call the kings of Israel versus those who are kings of Judah, which of these two kingdoms, south and north, actually north and south, were, you know, some of them were usually bad and some were fairly good. You know, of the south, or let me just put it this way, you may not know south and north. Of the Israel versus the Judah, which side was usually evil and which side was usually good? Israel had a lot of evil kings and Judah had some fairly good kings. But next time you read the story of these kings, don't just throw it away as if it means nothing. There are some stories in the Bible that we think, well, you know, they're just stories. Well, yeah, maybe they are stories, but all scripture is given by what? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So even if you think, oh, these are just stories. But let me tell you the two parts, the two ways in which the Bible is written quite clearly. There is history and there is doctrine. You know, and it's not Old Testament versus New Testament. There's history in the New Testament as well. A lot of things in the book of Acts, just history of, you know, what, you know, Paul and, you know, Luke, you know, going on their journeys, Luke writing, you know, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, you know, Barnabas, you know, going one way, you know, I mean, all these things. You know, so, stories there, which at first look like just history. But then there is doctrine. You know, a lot of doctrine. You know, that came, there's also instruction in righteousness, right? A lot of instruction in righteousness came even through some of those histories that we read in the Old Testament. A lot of instructions there. Now, in the New Testament, we have doctrine, letters to the, you know, saints at Philippi, saints at Colossae, saints at Thessalonica, saints at Ephesus, saints at, you know, Galatia, you know, all these things. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. And there's also revelation. It's all kinds of things. You put it all together, all of it makes sense. There's always something that the Lord is telling us. Now, in the story that we want to look at today, I want you to consider this. There are about several books in the Bible where we talk about these kings especially. Well, Samuel, two books in Samuel there, you know. You have even the set of books that's actually called Kings. You have a set of books that's called Chronicles. And then you find even that some of these other prophets who were there during the various times actually wrote some things. Isaiah wrote some things about some of the kings. One in particular that I want to talk about today, who is called Hezekiah. You know, But there was always a summary given towards the end. You know, if you read either in Samuel or you read in Kings, there might be a story about them, and they say, well, the rest of their acts are written in the book of the Chronicles, or the rest of their acts are written in the book of the Kings, or the rest of their acts are written even in the book of Isaiah, you know, like Hezekiah. You know, but sometimes there will be a commentary, you know. At first, there will be a summary, and then there will be a commentary. When a king comes in, usually, you know how their kingship was, you know, somebody is king, then their son. Usually it's their first son. There are some stories where it wasn't always their first son. But, you know, usually the son comes in there. And there will be a summary given. Like, he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, or he walked in the way of David, his father. Is it that he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel? You know, and who was, you know, does anybody remember some really wicked kings or kings that did evil in the Bible? There are several of them. Somebody say Ahab, right? Somebody say Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't a king of Israel or Judah. Who else? Saul? Okay. But let me tell you something about these kings. There will be some kings that we are told walked in the way of David, his father, you know, but in some areas, maybe they were not quite perfect. And there will be some commentary. Next time you read these stories, pay attention to those. You say, well, it was not quite perfect. However, he did take away the high places, and he did do this, he did that, but it was not exactly perfect, you know, so there will be a commentary there, you know. And sometimes even some of these great kings that were really good, then they'd have a son that come right after them. That would be wicked. And you just wonder, I mean, your father was so good. Why do you come and do all this wicked stuff? Such a person was Hezekiah. He was a good one. But the guy who came after him was not so good, although he repented later. But let me focus on Hezekiah. Now, I'm going to give you references for you to read, because we can't read all of it. References for you to read about Hezekiah, where you can find his stories. 2 Kings, chapters 18 to 20. 18, 19, 20. Isaiah, chapters 36 to 39. 36, 37, 38, 39. 2 Chronicles, chapters 29 to 32. So, I mean, many chapters in those places that covered the story of Hezekiah. I'm going to just pick here and there, because we can't read all these places. Just a few things that I want to bring up. Now, Hezekiah began to reign at what age? Anybody? 25 years old. So, let's pick up this story in 2 Kings chapter 18. You know, he was 25 when he began to reign. Well, let's see whether he did well or he did evil. There's a few things we want to bring out in his story. All right. So, now, it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he, so he was 25 years old, when he began to reign. Now, we have some kings that reigned at a very, very young age, like Josiah and so forth, 8 years and all of that. Another one at 12, you know. One of the, I'm going to ask you a quiz later on. The son, the king's son that came after Hezekiah, it wasn't very good. Started almost at the age of 12, but it was a bit evil. But let's get to that. Now, this man was 25 years old when he started. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Well, you know, his mother's name was Abby, who was his daughter of one Zechariah. Now, in some cases in their stories, you would find that they would list the name of the mother. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't, you know. Now, here is the summary, you know, the first summary about him. And he, Hezekiah, did that was, you know, which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. Now, David was like 14 kings away before him. But God still called it his father. You know, so that's the way the Lord dealt with them in their generations. The sure mercies of David, which I call generational blessings, passed on from David to Solomon. You know, David, because the Lord had favor on him, automatically the blessings passed on to the next generation. But it was the responsibility of the next generation to hold on to the blessings by following the ways of the Lord. Now, at first, Solomon, he did follow the ways of the Lord. Then later, you know, he went wild. All kinds of women and all kinds of idols and all kinds of crazy stuff. And so, God was angry with him. But because of David, his father, now, in the case of Solomon, if God said, David, your father, David was actually his father. I mean, direct father. But in the case of Hezekiah, when God said, David, your father, he wasn't directly his father. It was many, many generations before him. But God was still referring to them. You know, David was a pivotal place, you know, now. Generational blessing, let me just digress a little bit. We have Abraham, he passed on to Isaac, passed on to Jacob, and he passed on down the line. But from Jacob, you know, we find a significant, almost like a, I don't want to say quantum leap, but there was a significant leap from Jacob to David. And then God began to institute some other things. Well, from David, you know, quite on down, which we now have what we call the sure mercies of David. And from David, basically, to Christ. But God already predicted about Christ, even from the time he was talking to Abraham, when he said, thy seed, which we thought was Isaac. But in Galatians 3, we find out that Paul was actually saying by the Spirit that that seed was Christ. You read that in Galatians 3, I think verse 16 or so. You know, that seed was Christ. So those things pass on from Abraham, Isaac to Jacob. Jacob to, let's just say David. And from David, let's just say Christ. And then from Christ, you. Hallelujah. You know, those are the generations of Jesus Christ. You can read that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Now, this is the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. How that, you know, Christ, who's now called the son of David, and then David, the son of Abraham. I mean, he just skipped all that stuff. He skipped all that, skipped all the words, just jumped straight from Abraham to David. And jumped from David to Jesus, and from Jesus to you. Hallelujah. Because we are his seed, and we are his offspring, and we are also made joint heirs with him. Hallelujah. We'll get to that someday. Actually, I already taught a long series on that on Clubhouse. But we'll get to that, you know, sometime later here. But today, I'm looking at this guy who was Hezekiah, also in the lineage of David, but far removed from David, but God still referred to him as the son of David. Now, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did many things. He removed, we're told, the high places. He break the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent, which Moses had made, but people started to worship it after a while, you know, and so forth. And there was a lot of things, evil, that came to them. You know, he broke all those things, you know, and you know, people used to burn incense to all kinds of things. He destroyed all that stuff. And he trusted, listen to this. He trusted, verse 5, 2 Kings 18. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. You know, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. That's why I picked his story, because of this commentary that was said about him. See, after him, it's none like him, you know. None that were even before him. Well, you know, David was before him, but David was not part of the split. So we're talking about from the split, you know. There was really none like this man. It's Hezekiah, man. And there was really none after him like him. It was really good. But hold on now. Let's find out. Now, this Hezekiah, some of you might remember some nice stories about him. What is the thing that you remember? What story comes to mind when you remember Hezekiah? What story? Sundial turned back. Okay, good. What about, I was trying to make out, sift out what everybody was saying. It's a lot of stuff that was being said. Okay, sundial went back. What else do you remember? There's actually a story, that's one of the stories that I'm talking about today. I'll be talking about. There's also another story that I want to talk about today. Powerful stuff, you know. But, huh? Over here, you're waving your hand. All right, very good. So, there was actually, you know, in the days of Hezekiah, and you read in these chapters, it's written in three different places. In the book of Kings, it's a lot of detail. You know, in the book of Isaiah, there's a lot of detail about this particular story. In the book of Chronicles, it was just summarized, you know, but we got enough details. Sometime during the reign of Hezekiah, you know, it's somewhere in these stories. You know, let's pick up the story. We can talk about it from 2 Kings. It's there. And it's also there in the book of Isaiah and so forth. You know, now, in the book of, you know, Isaiah, in this 2 Kings, you can read it in this chapter 18 that we're in. There was a man called Rabshakeh, who actually worked for Sennacherib. You know, and Sennacherib was the king of Assyria, and he sent this Rabshakeh, maybe his chief of army staff or whoever he was, and they came to tell, you know, brought a message and said, look, make a league with us, you know, just join and so forth, you know, and submit yourself to us so that we, you know, we just reign over you, that kind of thing, you know. And they were speaking, and they said, look, don't let Hezekiah tell you to trust in the Lord. Because Hezekiah was always telling the people to trust in the Lord. Don't let Hezekiah tell you to trust in the Lord. Because this same Hezekiah, the man was saying, is he not the one that had cut down the high places of God? He thought it was God's high places, you know. And then he also said, look, even this your God, is he not the one that sent me here? And he just ridiculed them and said, look, if you think Hezekiah will save you, let me tell you something. All those nations that thought they could escape from the hand of my master, we destroyed them all, and we cast all their gods into the fire. Now, some of you are remembering the story now. You remembering the story now? We cast all their gods into the fire. You know, so don't think that Hezekiah or Hezekiah's God will save you. Praise God. Now, there are not too many times in the Bible that we read that God actually stood up to defend his name. But this was one time that he did. And I want to call something out in this story. You know, here is the way that I like to put it. Now, this Hezekiah, in fact, the men that were on the wall, they were saying to these people, please, don't speak to us in the language of the Jews. We don't want them to hear all this stuff that you are telling us. Speak to us in your own language. We understand it. And the man said, no, You think I come here just to do this? I come here to make you even drink your own piss. You know, a man was very obnoxious. And he said a lot of things. He gave a lot of writing and everything. He gave them an ultimatum. So Hezekiah, when he heard all these things, he said, this is the day of rebuke. But, you know, he would call upon. Now, at that time, Isaiah was, you know, one of the prophets that was there with him, the main one at the time. So here's what happened. Let's pick up this story the way Isaiah reported it. Now, of course, you guys have already mentioned the time that Hezekiah was sick, but I'm going to come to that later. Now, when this Rabshakeh came and blasphemed the name of the Lord and everything, you know, and he said all these things that he said, you know. Now, you can read all of that from Isaiah chapter 36. He said, where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad and all these gods? Where are the gods of all these lands, you know, which we have destroyed? Have any of their gods delivered them at all out of our hands? You know, so don't think that Hezekiah or Hezekiah's God will deliver you. So they answered him not a word, because Hezekiah told them, don't answer him a word. But Hezekiah, when he heard these tidings in Isaiah chapter 37, he rent his clothes and he went before the Lord to pray, you know. And then he sent also to Isaiah and said, look, today is a day of trouble. Today is a day of evil tidings, because, you know, children have come to the birth, but they can't come forth. I mean, there's just evil in the land. Call upon the name of the Lord your God. But let's listen to the prayer of Hezekiah himself, you know, when he began to pray and said, O Lord God of hosts, Isaiah 37 and verse 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims. Now, Hezekiah is going to pull out a page from David's way of addressing the Lord. And David was a man that knew, you know, how to press some buttons, if you want to put it that way. 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18. David, you know, he knew how to pray, how to exalt the Lord, how to call God's names forth, and his attributes and so forth. And David said, look, when I call upon the Lord in my distress, you can read 2 Samuel 22 and read Psalm 18. You know, there were some things, because the Lord, he knew, this was a man that knew how to say, the Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the rock of my life. He's my shield, my fortress, my high place. He's my son and he's my shield. I mean, he knew how to say all these things to the Lord. And when you say those things, he said, oh, the Lord will flex his arms, thy right hand and holy arm, and God in victory. And David, when he prayed like that, called the name of God, called off forth his glory, you know, God will stand up. The Bible said actually that the Lord stood up, blasted with his, you know, from heaven, blasted with his nostril, coals of fire, thundered from heaven, coals of fire were kindled before him. He rode upon a cherub, he did fly, the earth shook and thundered. And all of those were God's response to David's prayer. Now, there's a man that knew how to press the right buttons and get God to respond like that. And I've often asked people, can your prayer make God do that? Can you pray and God will thunder with a voice from heaven? Well, if you know how to praise the Lord like David did. So this man, Hezekiah, he learned some things. He had learned some tricks from David. Listen to how he prayed. He said, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, for thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. See? And even open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of this Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. And then he began to pray. You know, remember one time when David went up against Goliath, everybody said, this Goliath has come to reproach the armies of Israel. David said, no, this Goliath has come to reproach the living God. And so this man is pick up a page from David. When you make it God's fight, hallelujah. You know, we're not talking about reproaching the armies of Israel here. We're reproaching the Lord. This is what David said concerning Goliath. And this is the same thing that this man is saying here. This man has come to reproach the living God. And then, so he's going to put forth something here. Say, of a truth, Lord. I mean, it is true that the kings of Assyria have laid waste all these nations and their countries. They have destroyed them all. Is it true? Cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods. Hallelujah. Look, they destroyed them. They cast their gods into the fire. He said, because they were no gods, but they were the work of men's hands. They were wood. They were stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, this is something that I want us to get in verse 20. This is a key statement that he would make here in Isaiah 37 and verse 20. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand. Hallelujah. That our wives may not become widows. Is that what he said? That our children may not become fatherless. Is that what he said? That our land may not be destroyed. Is that what he said? That our posterity may not be taken from us. Is that what he said? I mean, those are legitimate reasons to pray that the Lord should save you. But this man, listen to his prayer. Let's learn something from it. Save us, O Lord, from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, and even thou alone. Now, when you know how to pray that kind of prayer, that's what I call making it God's fight. And actually, I call it putting God to the challenge to defend his name. You know, I've been saying to people that God's word is his bond, but his name is what? His reputation. You know, God must defend both his word and his name, but his name is his reputation. Because the kingdoms of the heathen have heard about him, that he had done these things and so forth. Even Moses, he argued with the Lord like that. Now, people have heard that you've done these things. Are you now going to let them say this and that? You know, so the name of the Lord was at stake here. And this man, he knew the right buttons to press. And he said, Lord, let all the kingdoms of the world know today that you are the very God, even thou alone. Can you say praise the Lord? When you know how to pray like that, instead of saying, well, save me, Lord, so that our land may not be destroyed, which would have been a good prayer. Save us, Lord, that our wives will not be widows, which would have been good prayer. Save us so that our children will not be fatherless, which would have been good prayer. Save us so that our land will not become desolate, which would have been good prayer. But the highest call upon the Lord is to challenge the Lord to defend his own name. Hallelujah. And this is what this man did. Let all the people, let the people hear of your renown. Let them know that you are the very God. And when you talk to God like that, hallelujah, the Lord will stand up and he will respond in kind. And the Lord said, I got this. And he stood up and he responded in kind. And I guarantee you, in fact, the Lord even put forth a parable. You know, put forth his own parable. I was just laughing. I said, God even has a sense of humor. He said, look, let me even talk to this Sennacherib and this Rabshakeh and all these people. You know, do you think I made all the world for you to come here and just destroy the place? You think that's what I did? Set up all these things and then you just come in and destroy everything? He said, oh no, I will protect and I will deliver this city. Huh? Hallelujah. And I will deliver this city for my own name's sake. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is how the Lord did it. He said he would deliver the city for his own name's sake. And when he would do it, you know, he even said, look, don't worry about it. You know, this man, he will go back with shame. And he went back with shame. But for the Lord to show himself strong, you know, in response to this kind of prayer, what did he do? How many of you know what he did? Somebody say, sent an angel. Okay, he sent an angel. And what did the angel do? 185,000 in one night. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, just the angel of the Lord just went out there. Because the Lord, because look, you come out here and say, your God cannot deliver you. We are going to burn you down. We are going to cast your God into the fire like we did with all these other gods and so forth. Can't do anything. Well, the Lord heard it, but he took someone, you know, to press the button. It was like, pull the trigger. And God said, aha, I'm going to show something here. All you have to do is, you know, just say one of those angels, you got this. And the angel of the Lord, he went there, wiped them out! 185,000 in one night. And when they got up and they looked, they were all dead corpses. Because one man knew how to challenge the Lord to defend his name. Amen. Amen. And the Lord said, look, I will actually save this city for my own name's sake. No, so that's one story that was actually good. Very good from Ezekiel. Let me read to you verse 35. You know, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of David, my servant. My goodness. You know, the Lord is still talking about David after all these hundreds of years. You know, that's really good. You know, now, many people, even those of us that are sitting in here today, you know, when you write the story of David, perhaps you remember the, you know, Goliath and so forth. But at the end of the day, you always have this clause that, well, in the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba, there's always that comma. But I tell you what, that comma is only in your mind. Hallelujah. Because the Lord, he chose this man's throne to set upon it. You know, because the Lord dealt with him, he repented, and God forgave him, and he's gone. And the Lord didn't talk about it anymore. Somebody else did. Somebody else may talk about it, but that's not God. What God is talking about concerning David is, I will set upon his throne. And the Son of God, who came upon the throne of David to order it, and upon his kingdom, for our everlasting ordering, according to Isaiah, that Jesus will sit upon the throne of David. Hallelujah. You know, that's how God sees David. Because David was a man that knew how to repent. You know, even one day when David decided to number all the children of Israel, God already told them, don't do that now. Even one of his servants came and said, one of the chief of army staff, okay, don't do that now. You know, but yeah, he did. And the Lord came against him, were very angry, because the Lord said, look, these people will be like the stars, numberless. Why are you numbering them for? You know? He didn't listen to even advice. But David was quick to say, Lord, the Lord came there and gave him choices. You know, here are three things. Choose one of them for your punishment. David looked at the three things and said, well, I tell you what, let me fall into the hand of the Lord and let me not fall into the hand of man. Amen. Amen. But the Lord is merciful, and perhaps he will repent him of the judgment of the evil. And so the angel of the Lord, you know, fall in the hand of the Lord, that's a dangerous thing too. Don't think that it's easy just because you say fall in the hand of the Lord, because our God is a consuming fire. You know. And so God came out there. Said, you want to fall in the hands of the Lord? I'll show you something. What? He began to kill the people. And David said, oh my goodness. Lord, these are your people. You know. And then the Lord remembered mercy. Amen. The Lord always does. You know, and you remember. And he stayed, you know, that judgment at that time. You know. But back to the story of Hezekiah. Now that was a really good story for him. You know, he got the Lord to do something great. You know. Maybe once or twice you've seen similar things in the Bible. I mean, we saw it in the land of Egypt. We saw it at the Red Sea. I mean, we've seen it in Jehoshaphat story. Jehoshaphat was many layers even before Hezekiah. He saw it also how the Lord defended Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 and so on. You know, this man, he did something good. He was able to get God to get him the victory. Now let's talk about, this is the other part of his story that I want to bring up. Let's talk about his story when he was sick. When I asked the question earlier, what do you remember? This was one of the things that people said. But Hezekiah was a man that when he was dying, the prophet came and told him, set your house in order because you are going to die and you are not going to live. And then he cried before the Lord and the Lord gave him. Now, you can read that story in two different places, but since I'm here in Isaiah, let me just read this one in Isaiah. In those days, Isaiah 38, was Hezekiah sick unto death? You know, and Isaiah the prophet came unto him, and you know, and said to him, set your house in order. Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order. You know, because this sickness, you are going to die. You are not going to live. Wow. Now, this is even more serious than getting a handwriting from the doctor or some test. But this is a man of God that come and put, thus saith the Lord upon him. Thus saith the Lord, you are going to die. Set your house in order because you are not going to survive this sickness. So, but Hezekiah, he turned his face toward the war and he prayed his heart out. And there are a lot of arguments that he made. You know, he made certain arguments. He said, Lord, you know how I have followed the ways of the Lord. You know how I have done these things and my heart has been towards the Lord. And he laid forth his argument and so forth. And he wasn't quite ready to die. You know, and then, of course, you know, the Lord changed the story. And you know how Hezekiah got 15 more years. How many of you know that? Got 15 more years, you know, and if you read the story in Kings, in the book of Kings and other places, even before Hezekiah was gone, I mean, Isaiah was gone out of the palace court, you know, the word of the Lord came to him, return and talk to Hezekiah. And he talked to Hezekiah, Hezekiah asked for a sign, you know, and Isaiah gave him an option. You see the sundial, that's how they measured time back in the days. See that sundial? See how it casts a shadow and so forth? Well, sundial is going, you know, the Lord can make this sundial skip forward 15 degrees, just like a quantum leap. Just leap forward, skip 15 degrees. Or go backward 15 degrees. And Hezekiah was a smart man. He said, well, the sun is going forward anyway. So it could go forward. You know, that's easy. Let the sun go backwards 15 degrees. the Lord had mercy on him, you know. You don't need a sign when the Lord already gave you the word. But, okay, Lord had mercy on him. And he said, okay, fine. So it'll be. And the sun went down 15 degrees. And it has been proven even in science. You know, some missing times in science clock. You know, and so forth. So, anyway, that was one of them. The other one was the days of Joshua, when he saw the sun. But anyway, the Lord did that for him. And he got 15 more years
Praise the Lord.
But there is something that he did after that. In Isaiah chapter 39, and I'm going to bring out this story when we go to the part, you know, that is the one that's in Chronicles, you know. There was a time, you know, it says here that, you know, this name is so long, I can't even say it. Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters, this is, you know, Isaiah 39. Sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, you know, and he heard that Hezekiah had been sick, you know. So Hezekiah received them. Now Hezekiah was recovered, and Hezekiah received them and showed them, you know, the house of his precious things, you know, the silver and the gold. Now, we don't hear anything in here. We don't know whether he did or not, but you'll see later when we read it in Chronicles. We don't hear anything here that Hezekiah gave the glory to God for this thing. You know, but people came and heard that he was sick. Hey, you know, you are now well. You know, they gave a toast. You know how people toast, you know. Hey, we toast to your health and so forth. There was a tremendous opportunity here that Hezekiah missed. A tremendous opportunity
to give the glory to God.
But I don't see it happening. In fact, what I see was, you know, come and see, you know, all the precious things in my house. And he showed them around, gave them a tour, you know, and so forth. Of course, he was being a good host and everything. He showed them everything. There was nothing in his house that he did not show them. Verse 2 on the screen right there. And after he finished, well, you know, there's something with these prophets. You know, after he finished, here comes the prophet and say, those men, that was Isaiah, that came to your house. You know, what was it you showed them? What did you tell them? He said, I showed them all the great things in my house. And Isaiah said, is that a fact? You showed them all those things, huh? He said, yeah. He said, well, you know, all that you have shown them, every last one of them will be carried away into captivity. Come in here, you know, did not Jesus say, you know, don't give your pearls to, don't put your, I don't know how he said it, don't give your pearls to swine and put your, you know, jewels before dogs and so forth. I mean, you know, show them all your house. You had an opportunity to give glory to God. Instead, you're showing them the house. Yeah. Well, that's what he did. Well, right here, we're not told that there was anything wrong in what he did. You know, obviously, both Isaiah and the Lord were not quite happy with it. You know, because Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord in verse 5 of Isaiah 39. Behold, the days come, and all that is in thine house, which is in the fathers have laid out and so forth until this day, shall be carried into this same Babylon. That's right. Be carried into Babylon. You know, the people who came from Babylon. These same people, you know, who come, carry everything. There shall nothing be left and so forth. Well, you know, there was also an error here. And a part of this, Hezekiah, in my judgment, there was an error. First, there was an error in him opening his house to the enemies of the Lord. Two, there was an error in him after this thing was said. Let's look at what he said. You know, he says, look, all this thing will happen. Nothing will be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall come from thee, that thou shalt beget, they shall take them away. They shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Well, all these things happened, you know. And what was Hezekiah's response? There's a problem here, ladies and gentlemen. There was a problem here. You may not have seen it this way or even read this story or even know this story or maybe even thought of it when you read it. But here's what Hezekiah said. Good is the word which the Lord has spoken. You know. And he said, well, because the Lord has said, there will be peace in my days. You know, because the Lord said, the days are coming. So he said, well, God has kicked the can down the road. So there is peace in my days. Now, did we hear anywhere here that Hezekiah actually fell on his face and said, Lord, no. You know, this was the same Hezekiah that knew how to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, but in this moment that we are in here right now, I'm going to go to Chronicles and see what was in his heart. In this moment that we are in here right now, this Hezekiah, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's not entirely walking in spiritual discernment or not walking in the spirit of the Lord. He could have fallen on his face right here and prayed. It reminds me of a story in 1 Kings chapter 13. The young prophet did all that he did, and the Lord told him, don't do this, don't go here, don't do that, don't do this. And he would not do it at first at the word of the king, but when an older prophet came and lied to him, he went and followed the prophet home. How many of you know that story? And while they were sitting at dinner, the same prophet that deceived him brought the word of the Lord, judgment against him. And there is not a single record that the man fell on his face and asked God for forgiveness. The man said, look, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, the older prophet said, your carcass will fall by the wayside. You're not going to get back home. And he just took it. Good is the word of the Lord. And he just took it like that. Now, David did not just take it like that. Every time he did one of these offenses, he called upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He knew where to go. He called upon the name of the Lord. And even Adam, all the way from the beginning, Adam was the same way. We don't never hear that Adam repented of anything. All he did was blame the wife. The wife blamed the serpent. Everybody up, blame, 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 blame. Nobody fell upon their faces. Some of you may have heard my lessons when I teach the story about Enoch. You know, why are the cherubims there? Well, God has locked up the place. You know, and we're waiting to die. God said we're going to die. You are waiting to die. Did you actually ask God for forgiveness? Adam said, it's too late. We're just waiting to die. Well, and all of them were dying. But Enoch said, we'll see about that. Hallelujah. That's right. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, there are many lessons in the story of this Hezekiah. This one that he should have prayed, falling upon his face. He probably didn't even realize that he did anything. Maybe there was pride in his heart. You know, we don't know. But let's see. We'll go to 2 Chronicles and let's find out. You know. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapters 29 to 32 is the story of Hezekiah again. But in chapter 32, so let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and see how it was brought out this time around, you know, in a different angle and a different viewpoint. Now, if you read just the book of Kings and you read just the book of Isaiah concerning the story of Hezekiah, you may not get all of the picture, you know. That's why don't discountenance any part of the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, let me read to you from verse 24. Now, this is the same story that we've read in Kings and in Isaiah. Now, in those days, see, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Well, before I read that, you know, there, you know, let me read to you this way. Anyway, let me just read that. Lord say, move on here. Okay, so let me move on here. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. If you read the previous verse, you'll see the people that brought gifts unto him. But Hezekiah was sick unto death. He prayed unto the Lord. The Lord gave him a sign and healed him. Now, he didn't go into details here, just a summary. But listen to this. This is the part that the other ones did not report. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit that was done to him, for his heart was lifted up. Would you have thought? Who would have thought his heart was lifted up? So as the man that cut down the groves.
You know, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You know, the moment his heart was lifted up, what happened to him? Because people were coming to congratulate him for recovery from his sickness. But his heart was lifted up. See? Instead of giving the glory to God, he took them around his house. Look at all these things in my house. You know, he should have given the glory to God. He didn't. But let's read the commentary here. You know, he said, look, he rendered not unto, the benefit not done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. You know, but this time around, the way it's recorded here, he humbled himself again. When he saw that the wrath, we're not told the wrath and so forth here that came, but, you know, there was wrath. And the wrath said, well, you'll be carried away and do all of these things and so forth. But this one actually gave us a commentary that, nevertheless, he humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of God came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. This was the pushing, kicking the can down the road. You know, you have to, you know, cross-reference these things to get it, you know. But it came nonetheless, you know. But the Lord gave him a little bit of respite in his time. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. And he made himself treasuries of silver and of gold and so forth. Precious things and all that, you know. Spices, everything. Storehouses and all that and so forth. And Hezekiah did all these things. Now, let's read, you know, verses 30 and 31. 2 Chronicles 32. Now, this same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down from the west side, you know, of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. How be it? In the business of those people that came and checked out his house. This is where you find out that God was not actually pleased with that. He didn't say it exactly like that in 1 Kings, the place we are reading in Isaiah. You just read it and moved on. You wouldn't have known this, you know. So, in the business of those ambassadors that came from the palaces of Babylon, you know, who sent to inquire of him the wonder that was done in the land and how he was healed and so forth, you know, the Bible said that God left him to try him, that he might know what was in his heart. Now, this is serious business, folks. You know, God is always trying our hearts. And sometimes, you know, we may not know what's going on. God was trying this man. He allowed those people to come in. He had a perfect opportunity to give glory to God and testify. But he didn't. Right? Instead, he showed them all the beauty of his house. Well, you know, but God was trying him. And he didn't know it, you know. And the Bible says that, look, he was good in all the things that he did, but in that particular area, that was his testing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our lesson today. I'm going to wrap it up here because I'm looking at the time. You know, there are many other things in the lessons of this Hezekiah man. You know, sometimes you should read them, study. And when next time, when you study these kings, study them with an insight. Don't just read them as if you are reading a novel. Just read the story and just move on. There are lessons inside these stories. One time I think I did hear, a few years ago, lessons in the story of Asa. You know? And Asa was another one that was, you know, ahead of him. You know? But Hezekiah, even though the Bible said that there was nobody like him before, was no, you know, since the thing was split, nobody like him. Nobody after him. You know, he was really good. But there was this Macaulay Kuma in his story. His heart was lifted up. You know, so, you know. Hello? Are you still with me? You know, so we need to guard our hearts. You know, because this heart can easily be lifted up. You know, be very careful now. But the secret also is in when there is something done that is not right, quickly go back to the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? You know, so in the heart, you know, iniquity. And you know, it's kind of like Lucifer. He was the cherub that covered, you know, and everything was great. He was around the throne and everything until the day that iniquity was found in his heart. His pride, you know, pride in his heart. Say, I will be exalted above the stars of God. I will go upon the sides of the north. I mean, and I will be like the Most High. I do this, I do that. You know, I. And God said, look, there's only one I here. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you begin to say, I, you're finished. That's the heart has already crept in there. So that's a lesson for us there today. You know, let's leave it there. Ponder upon these things. And this was a man that was said, great. Before and after. And indeed, it was before and after. But I don't have time to tell you of his son, you know, the wicked son that came after him. You know, he did wickedly, you know, but nonetheless, he himself repented after a while, you know, and so forth, you know, but, you know, he did, maybe next time I'll cover, you know, the story of Manasseh and so forth. You know, Manasseh was his name, who was the son that came after him, but he was wicked. Now, I don't know why it was like that. Maybe Hezekiah did not take time to instruct this young man. I don't know. You know. And, or maybe he did not explain to him the reasons, you know, why you should not go after idolatry. I don't know. But, you know, it could also have been rebellion in the heart of that young man. And sometimes men of God and so forth, they do all they can. They might even raise their children right, you know. And after all said and done, the children still go, you know, wicked ways. But I believe that Hezekiah actually did train his family, you know. But this one decided to go his way anyway. So, but what did the Lord do, even though that was the case? Well, and this may apply to us today, because the Lord told us, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, Proverbs 22 and 6 and all that, you know, and when they are, let's keep the baby quiet, please. When they are departed, I mean, when they are grown, rather, they will not depart from it. Now, but when they do depart, what will happen? When they depart, what's going to happen? Because the Lord promised that they will not depart. But sometimes they may depart. You know, so this is the last of the lessons that I will bring today. When the Lord says, here is something that he promised, and then the thing goes south or opposite direction, then what should you do? Well, the first thing to do is to remember what the Lord said. And to remember and remind the Lord that this is what he said. So if the Lord said anything and it looks opposite, that thing is must come right back to what God said. It's just that simple. If the Lord said, this sickness is not unto death, as it was in the case of Lazarus. And yet the man died. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means at the end of the day, in the final analysis, it will be as if the man never died. Because the Lord says, not unto death. So the man must come back to life. You know, if your children depart after that the Lord has said they will not depart, well, then what? Here is the promise that I'm going to close with today. Now, in the story of Manasseh, he actually departed. And he did abominably. He did wicked things. He reinstituted all the things his father had cut off. And he just began to do wickedly. Cause all the people around him to do wickedly. He departed. But I believe in my heart that Hezekiah did try to set him straight. You know, but departed nonetheless. So where is the promise in that case? Well, let's read it in Jeremiah chapter 31. And let's read verses 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. Some of you have to weep over your children because you tried everything you can and they went the wrong way. Like Manasseh. You know. And he said, well, thy work shall be rewarded. Refrain your eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. Amen. All the labor that you put in when the Lord said, train them up so they won't depart, yet they departed. Here is the word of the Lord. All that work will be rewarded. Amen. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. How many of you say amen to that? And there is hope in thy end, said the Lord, that thy children that departed and went in the way of the world or in the way of crazy stuff, they shall come back again to their own border. Hallelujah. Can somebody give the Lord a hand clap for that? Praise the Lord. I don't have time to read to you the whole story of Manasseh. Maybe I will next time. But Manasseh was one that exemplified this thing. He actually did depart. He did wickedly and abominably. But at the end of the days, he came back. Praise the Lord. Now, let's stand up to our feet. Let's pray for ourselves that our hearts will not be at any time lifted up for pride or with pride. Because this man, he did everything right. But yet, inside his heart, there was a little pride in showing off and so forth. You know, and instead of giving glory to God for this great deliverance from his sickness, whereof he would have died, you know, he was showing off his house. And instead of, you know, all these things that we read, his heart was a bit lifted up. However, Chronicles shows us an angle that he eventually repented. And the Lord had mercy upon him. So let's pray. Pray for yourself today. Pray and say, Lord, you know, the Bible says, guard your heart. For out of it there are issues. Well, sometimes our heart has issues. You know how people say people have issues? Well, our heart has issues. You know, the worst of it is pride. Can creep in there. You know, spiritual pride can also creep in there. So let's pray. Let's pray that the Lord will have mercy upon us and teach us, show us his ways. Pray for yourself. And Lord, show us your ways. Teach us in the right path. And cause our hearts to be right before you, Lord. That we will not turn to the left. Some of these kings were told they turn neither to the left nor the right. They follow the ways of David, their father. And the Lord was happy with them. But in some cases, there may still be some element where their heart was not right. Father, let our hearts be right before you in Jesus' name. Now, let's pray for our children. If you have any children like Manasseh, who went away the ways of wickedness or whatever, you know, whom perhaps Hezekiah had trained, you know, maybe training well, maybe not. Let's just assume Hezekiah trained him well, but he went away nonetheless. Well, let's pray according to the word of Jeremiah that they will come back again from the land of the enemy. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray for the children who might have gone wayward, have gone into the world, have gone the ways of the world. The Bible says, refrain your eyes from tears. Your walk over them will be rewarded. They will come back from the land of the enemy. And they will come back to their own borders, saith the Lord. Father, bring them in according to your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Now, Lord, bless the hearts of everyone that is in here with these lessons and all the things that we found out. And help us also to learn, you know, how to call the Lord out to fight for his own name. That's something we learned from Hezekiah. And if you know how to do that, you will win many battles. Because the Lord will always win when he fights for his own name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.